David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. I'm going to tell you right now, double dipping in politics. We hardly ever do it. We're doing it today. We've got some special guests that are going to help us do it, just so you can know. Got the Alliance Defending Freedom, and we got Focus on the Family going to be talking to us about what the future could be from a political and spiritual point of view. Wow. Also, because we're doing entertainments, there'll be only a limited amount of events that we want to review outside of that. So here I'm going to do the entertainment portion for you right now of the show. Ready? Ready? Go. Watch. Okay. I'm doing finger puppets. Hi, Dave. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Mr. Finger. Okay, that's the entertainment part. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oh no, so much more. We're asking you, what do you think? Call us 866-577-2473. How bad did I destroy that opening? Pretty bad? That was pretty bad. Okay, 866-K-PRAISE. Remember, any topic is technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's really not professional radio. I'm sorry. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. Here on AM 1210 K-PRAISE, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We're coming right back. Stand by for SRN News.
With beans in your ears.
Beans in your ears.
You say,
let's put beans in our ears.
Beans in our ears.
Beans in our ears.
The David Spoon
What's
Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
How often should children be allowed to complain?
This is Real Family Life with marriage and family expert Dennis Rainey. It's Tuesday, June 27th.
My children were all boys. They complained about the things that all boys complain about, schoolwork, yard work. As they got older, they complained about not having the automobile enough.
Every child complains and grumbles from time to time. To be honest, moms and dads are guilty too. In order to help us cut down on our complaining, I once had my entire family memorize Philippians 2, verses 14 and 15, which says, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach." After memorizing the verse, when one of us would start to moan and groan, someone would pipe up and say, "How many things are we to do without grumbling?" All things. One final thought. Everyone has bad days, and an occasional negative comment is to be expected. But if a grumbling spirit persists within a child or a family, perhaps action needs to be taken. Maybe your family could benefit from memorizing Philippians 2, verses 14 and 15. I'm Dennis Rainey, and that's Real Family Life.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. A quick reminder, you want to reach the show, davidspoon at kprz.com. That's the email. If you don't know what email is, I cannot help you any longer. It is way past that point. On the phone with us, Eric Stanley. We're going to be talking. He's from the Alliance Defending Freedom, and we're going to be talking about the SCOTUS ruling in favor of a church-run daycare. I'm going to really kind of let Eric, set it up and give people a chance to understand what's going on. Then we're going to kind of talk about the implications. Plus, and see if we can take a short crack at the Masterpiece Cake Shop case as well. Eric, are you there with us?
I'm here. Great to be with you.
It's our privilege to have you on. Let's set it up for the audience. There was a pretty big decision, couple big decisions yesterday. Only one of them seemed to get an enormous amount of play in the media, which had to do with the traveling ban, but there were other decisions. What were those other decisions?
Well, the biggest one from our perspective was involving Trinity Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. The church had applied for a state grant program to resurface its playground with recycled tire products. The state would provide a grant to pull tires out of the landfill, grind them up, and put them as a safer playground surface for kids. And they have invited all nonprofits to apply. Trinity Lutheran Church applied. The state had about 16 different criteria it looked at to score the applications. Trinity's ranked fifth out of 44 applications that year. The state gave out 12 grants, but it did not give a grant to Trinity. It gave them a letter saying, because you are a church-run daycare, we cannot give you a grant because of our state constitution that prohibits any aid to a religious institution. So we challenged that under the Free Exercise Clause, and yesterday the Supreme Court in a 7-2 decision ruled in favor of the church and said it violated the Free Exercise Clause to single out and discriminate Trinity Lutheran Church solely because of its religious identity in a program that had nothing at all to do with religion. It was just about playground resurfacing.
Let me ask you this. So I got two questions that I want to do a follow-up on this. The first one is the claim then by the state was essentially, or their defense was essentially, a separation of church and state kind of mentality. Is that correct? They were trying to, that's what they were trying to state, that there should be a differential between churches and states. Is that correct?
That's right. They were saying that they agreed that giving Trinity Lutheran Church a grant to resurface its playground would not violate the Establishment Clause. They agreed it would not violate the separation between church and state. But they said, we want to stay as far away from that as possible, even though it doesn't violate the Establishment Clause. And so we're going to exclude this religious group solely because it was religious. And that's what the court said violated the Free Exercise Clause. It said it put the church to a choice. It could either participate in the grant program or it could be a church, but it could not be both. And that was a penalty on the exercise of its religion.
All right. Then my next question is, in regards to the establishment law, how, and this is me not being a lawyer, not being somebody who understands this process the way you are going to understand it, Eric, but how does resurfacing a church playground top have to do with establishing a religion? I guess that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for, how does that get to that in any realm of 2 + 2 = 4?
Well, I think you should have been a lawyer, because that's the question that I've been asking since 2012 when this case came up. And it's the question that I've been briefing to the courts all along in the process. And I think ultimately that's what undid the state of Missouri in this case. That's what went against them, because we're dealing with a rubber playground surface from recycled tires. That's about as far away from the establishment of religion as you can get. And yet the state of Missouri wanted to make this case all about religion. And the problem was, is if you follow the state of Missouri's logic and you would exclude Trinity Lutheran Church from this grant program to resurface its playground with a safer surface for kids, then the state could come tomorrow and say, well, we're not going to give you the aid of providing fire protection or police protection to your church or your preschool, because that is aid to a religious organization and we're prohibited from doing that. So there's literally no stopping point, and it would have just resulted in rampant discrimination against churches and religious organizations. So we're grateful the Supreme Court put a stop to that, because, again, it had nothing to do with religion, even though Missouri wanted to make it all about that.
Yeah. I mean, unless they took a huge rubber ducky and put it up at the top and said, you must bow before you use the playground, I just can't follow that. Let me ask you this question. From a legal perspective, and this is where I'm going to need you to kind of help me, this is the federal court, though, telling the state court hey, you're in breach of what is, well, basically what's common sense. But is there then an issue or a problem? Because in some regards, I hear certain Christian leaders and certain political leaders saying, hey, we want to give more authority back to the states, and we don't want the federal government running anything, and da-da-da-da-da. Is there a little bit of a conflict there, though, because the federal government has to come in and go, hey, state of Missouri, you're being dumb? I mean, how does that work?
Well, you know, there always is a little bit of a conflict with that, but that conflict was decided when the Constitution was adopted and basically became the supreme law of the land. And all of the states have to abide by that. And what we raised was a free exercise claim to say that this penalizes Trinity Lutheran Church's exercise of its religion. It cannot be a full member of the community and participate in this grant program and be a church. It cannot be both things. And that's what the court keyed in on and said, you're right, that is a penalty on the exercise of their religion. What Missouri wants the church to do is to shed its religious status and become instead something secular. And that's a violation of your free exercise, because you should be able to take your religion into the community and be who you are without having to feel like you have to shed your religious identity. And so really what Missouri was doing was violating the First Amendment. And so I don't necessarily see it as a federalism conflict in any way. I see this as, if the free exercise of religion means anything, it means that a state cannot single out and target religious people and treat them worse than everybody else simply because they're religious. I mean, remember, Trinity, somebody else who is less qualified than Trinity Lutheran Church got the grant in 2012, and the only reason they got it was because Trinity Lutheran was religious and was excluded. That's discrimination, and it violates the First Amendment.
Yeah, excellent answer. And there's a couple things. I have a couple questions more, but I want to give you guys the props and the opportunity. How can people support you In the causes that you guys are fighting, the Alliance Defending Freedom? How can they connect to you? We know we want them to pray for you. How can they support you?
Well, excellent question. Thanks for that. You can always find us at adflegal.org. That's our website, adflegal.org. We've actually got a lot of resources up there about Trinity Lutheran Church and the other cases that we're litigating all across the country on religious liberty. So that's the best place to go to find out more information about the cases and what you can do to help support.
All right. So that's what people need to know, that adflegal.org. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay. I want to make sure we got that in there. All right. My question then, and I do want to get to a couple more questions, so I appreciate you taking the time with us. My question is, where could or should this ruling lead to for future, you know, for future cases that are going to be similar like this?
Well, the dissent yesterday, there were two justices who dissented, and they noted that there were about 38 to 39 different states that had constitutional provisions similar to Missouri. And those constitutional provisions have been used over the years to exclude religious organizations from participating in neutral government benefit programs that run the spectrum. I mean, disaster relief to things like the scrap tire reimbursement program that Missouri had. And so I think we'll see impact in those kinds of arenas. What we saw impact on today, actually, was there were some cases that the Supreme Court was holding while it was deciding the Trinity Lutheran case. And those cases had to do with school voucher programs. And the court actually reversed those cases and sent them back to the lower courts to deal with in light of Trinity Lutheran. So the court seems to be acknowledging that, certainly in the school voucher context, Trinity Lutheran is going to have an impact. And I think that may be one of the initial things that we see moving forward is, you know, can religious schools be excluded from school voucher programs? That's been a problem in a number of states. And I think we'll see some court cases come down on that in the near term.
Yeah, that's excellent. That you know, it seems like that's heading in the right direction. I'm one of those cautious, optimistic people. It's like, that sounds great. I just want to make sure it lasts. You know, it's like,
that's right.
That's kind of like my attitude. Like, that's great. Let's see if it hangs out there tomorrow. So this then leads us into, and I don't want to, again, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but it does kind of lead us into the cake shop scenario, doesn't it? Isn't this going to kind of head that direction? I mean, this is something that's going to have to be established by the Supreme Court as well. The cake makers who are like, this is a total trampling of our religious freedoms. How's that going to work out?
Yeah, well, that was the other huge news yesterday that we were not expecting, and I don't think anybody was expecting, that the Supreme Court agreed to hear the case of Masterpiece Cake Shop in Colorado. That's been ADF's case from the very beginning. We'll be arguing at the high court this term, or next term in the fall. And really what the case boils down to is, can the government coerce and compel someone to celebrate an event and to state a message that they disagree with because it violates their religious beliefs? That's what happened here. It's not that Jack Phillips, the cake maker, refused to sell cakes to same-sex couples. That was not what was going on. He would sell a cake to anybody that came into his shop. It's that he would refuse to create a custom cake and to use his creative abilities to participate in celebrating a same-sex wedding ceremony. And that's really what's at issue. And, you know, for those people who say, well, maybe he should have just baked the cake, that's really the wrong question and the wrong focus. The right focus should be, does the government have the power to compel someone to violate their conscience? If the government is big enough to do that, to compel someone to violate their religious beliefs, then we have a government that's big enough to force anyone to do anything. And I don't think any of us want that.
No, that's an excellent point. Really is an excellent point. And I'm pretty sure when you guys were going through that a while back, that was the first time that I had actually come across you guys. And you guys, you did a great job, Eric, in talking about it with the audience. And I really appreciate it. You know, let Bob know that you did a great job, and I thought so. And as this progresses, I'd love to have you back on talking about what the steps are, what the next steps are, and make sure that the audience recognizes that you guys need prayer and financial support in a couple of different directions. So I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate you taking the time.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on. And I would just encourage everybody again, adflegal.org for updates on Jack Phillips' case. It's going to be a huge case at the court next term.
Yeah, that's going to be something to watch and something to behold. Excellent job by Eric on that. adflegal.org. Thank you, sir. You folks are listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
When you think of heaven, what emotion does it evoke? Boredom? Dread? Fear? All the above? This is Jim Garlow. Many images we get hung up on were recorded in the Bible in attempts to convey what heaven is like. Human language has severe limitations, especially for describing the indescribable. Unfortunately, the outlook on heaven many of us carry around is a far cry even from the heaven John attempted to describe in Revelation, of God's everlasting wonders and delights. But try this for starters. If you want to know what heaven feels like, think of your deepest longings, those insatiable soul cravings for love. Now imagine what it would feel like to have all those longings satisfied in a more abundant fashion than you've ever dreamed of. Now multiply that feeling by infinity. Suddenly heaven starts to sound exciting and enticing. There's more at jimgarlow.com.
I am pure Burmese and strong in my own religion. I did not want to hear about Jesus, but Pastor Ruwat came and told me about him.
When Da Ai Tin first heard about Jesus, her reaction was, "I will never believe your God and change my religion." But Pastor Ruwat continued to visit, sharing God's word and answering her questions. At first, she rejected the message, but after 1 year, her heart softened. And then one day, she clearly knew that what Pastor Ruwat had been telling her about Jesus and salvation was true. Now she is a believer in the living God. We at Whitefields Ministry support pastors so people can hear the gospel.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Shout out to Eric Stanley, doing a great job for Alliance Defending Freedom. If you want more information on what that organization does, they are in the middle of some serious legal debates and making some big changes right at the top at the Supreme Court of the United States. You can always check them out, adflegal.org. adflegal.org. Very, very good. All right. We are going to do a DDD in the next segment, because I just want you to be aware of it. We're going to have Bruce Hauskinet going to be coming on from Focus on the Family to go over that. I want to hear that. That was a legal perspective, and Eric did a good job. I want to hear that more spiritual perspective and the underneath that's going on. But before we get to that, let's do our DDD called Very Busy, But Not Too Busy for You.
Actually, Bobby's been very, 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 very busy.
Was that Bobby's been very, very, very?
Actually, Bobby's been very, 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 very busy.
Very, 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 very busy. I like that. John chapter 5, verse 16 through 17. Now, because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews began to persecute him. But Jesus answered them, "To this very day, my Father is at his work, and I, too, am working." Listen to that. Now, because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews began to persecute him. But Jesus answered them, "To this very day, my Father is at his work, and I, too, am working." All right, let's understand what's going on. Jesus was doing stuff on the Sabbath. He was breaking the religious customs. Let me help you out and let me help you understand. He was not just breaking them in healing people on the Sabbath, but in this case, he told a man to take up his mat and walk. The guy picked up his mat and walked, and the religious leaders of the day said, "You're breaking the Sabbath by taking your mat and carrying it." Here's something you ought to know. Carrying your mat on the Sabbath was not forbidden by Moses and the law. Maybe you didn't know that. Maybe you did. It was not forbidden by Moses. It was not forbidden in Leviticus, not forbidden in Numbers, not forbidden in Deuteronomy or Exodus. In fact, this is an invasive add-on to the law. You had 639 laws. Then they started to say, well, if you touch these bubbles of the law, you're going to break the law. So we're going to put another layer around these laws, and these will be Talmudic in nature. And then with the next set, they created even another bubble. Well, one of those add-on laws where you can't carry your mat, you can't carry your sleeping paraphernalia during the Sabbath. Moses never said that. It wasn't even real. I mean, the Mishnah puts on a whole separate element. So this is like church traditions being broken. You might have church traditions at your church, but if they are not directly related to Scripture, it's a tradition at best. And traditions never take precedent over God helping people. It just doesn't happen. And so they were persecuting him because their mindset was, it's our way or else. Now, it's unlike the church today, because the church never says that, right? No church ever says, do it our way or else. Are you kidding? Half the churches do that. We do worship right. We do giving right. We do praying right. We do ministry right. We do teaching right. You got to teach this way. You got to preach this way. You got to use two fingers, three fingers, five fingers. You got to wear a tie. You got to wear shorts. You got to have a podium. You got to have a table. Oh, my goodness gracious. Nobody cares. You can't possibly think those things are the things that are important to God. Well, I don't think that podium's up to divine standard. It's only a 3x7. It should be 3x8.25. Come on. A little growing up is good, right? But that's not the key to this, although I can do that for about 2 hours. Jesus said this, "My Father is at his work." I want you to understand something, because there's too many of you that think this. Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 through 3 is after God created the universe. God created the earth. He made mankind. He made the animals. Then the Bible said God rested. Some of you still think God's resting. You think God was really, really tired after those 7 days? He's been taking a nap for 5,000 years. What are you talking about? Well, God rested after he made the earth. Yeah, and then he went right back at it. What does that mean? And by the way, his rest wasn't for him, it was for us. Not the Sabbath needs to be legalistic, but it's not a bad idea to rest. I think that's pretty obvious. Jesus said, come ye apart and rest a while. It's not genius stuff here. But Jesus goes, my father is at work. He's not hanging out, sleeping in sleeping in some kind of hammock. Oh, I'm real tired after making the earth 5,000 years ago, 10,000 years ago, 50,000 years ago, 10 million years ago. I don't care. God's tired after doing something? Okay. Apparently you're serving the wrong God. My God doesn't get tired, except for when people annoy him with complaining. He gets tired of that, but not physically tired. So Jesus goes, my father is at work. God's not sitting on his hands. God is active. You think God's up there going, well, I'm a little tired here. My back hurts. I say that. God doesn't say that. I bring the groceries up a flight of stairs and then I look and say, where's the elevator? It's not the Lord doing that. Verse 19, Jesus replied, truly, truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself unless he sees the Father doing it. For whatever the Father does, the Son also does. God is active. I think we don't quite understand. You think people think, oh, Donald Trump's got a lot of energy. I don't think you quite understand what a lot of energy means. Let me explain to you what a lot of energy means. How about somebody that can do something as long as they want and never sustain or never stop, but keep on sustaining and never have time interfere? That's a lot of energy. Yeah. God is busy, active, doing stuff all the time. Fantastic. And we love that because he's doing stuff for us and with us. God's not in the Sabbath mode every day of the week. And God doesn't need to rest. And he's not sitting on his hands. He's busy, active, and with you. Wow, love it. Just think of that. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Smith Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back with Bruce Alskinet from Focus on the Family. Don't go anywhere.
More local, national, and heavenly talk on the David Spoon Experience. AM 1210, KPRZ, the Christian station.
David Frost, the British media journalist and television host, is famous for saying that television is an invention that permits you to be entertained in your living room by people you wouldn't think of having in your own home. Well, to the extent that that is true, then we have to confess to a bit of dishonesty at best, or hypocrisy at worst. It is very easy in our media-saturated culture to find ourselves being entertained by people and programs whose values we don't actually embrace. It was Jesus who said that it is impossible to love God and the things of this world at the same time. This is David Jeremiah encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's values on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
Hey, KPRZ friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted KPRZ partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
When I
joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Joining us, here's something a lot of people don't know. Joining us on the phone, this is amazing, Bruce Houskinette was actually with us 2 years ago and 2 days from right now. So on June 29th, 2015, that's the last time he was on the show. Almost 2 years to the day. That's amazing. Bruce from Focus on the Family. How you doing, Bruce?
I'm fine, David. I'll bet we were talking about another Supreme Court decision 2 years ago, too.
You are correct, sir. We were talking about the one that took place 2 years ago when everybody who has Christian faith was going, this is not good. Anyway, that was a Supreme Court decision that had to do with gay marriage. We'll deal with that as that moves forward. But talk to me about this whole Supreme Court decision that has a meaning for playground equipment, what it means for religious freedoms, and why we should be aware, concerned, fervent, and praying.
All right. Well, Trinity Lutheran is the name of the case that was decided this week. And essentially, what the court said is a state cannot deny to a religious organization a state benefit that it grants to everyone else solely because it's a religious entity. We had a kindergarten that wanted to install a rubberized playground in Missouri, where this case took place, and it applied for a state grant that was a secular state program having to do with the safety of playgrounds, and they applied for that grant. They were the fifth best qualified that year, and they were on the list to get reimbursed for buying that type of playground. When the state said, oh, we're sorry, because our state constitution forbids us from giving money to religious entities, you are no longer in consideration for this secular state program. And so they appealed, the church did, and they lost, and they lost, and they lost all the way up to the Supreme Court. And in a 7-2 opinion, the court said they win. The church cannot be denied a state benefit because that violates the Free Exercise Clause of the U.S. Constitution's First Amendment, even if the state constitution of Missouri says otherwise. That has repercussions and implications for cases already waiting down the pike. And in fact, they impacted two education cases out of Colorado and New Mexico, which the court has sent back down because of the Trinity Lutheran case to reconsider in light of the Trinity Lutheran decision, both having to do with state programs where benefits were denied because of church involvement. So this is already having major First Amendment repercussions up and down the line. So it's a really good decision.
From a Focus on the Family point of view, okay, like, because you guys are very, I think it's fair to say that you're very well connected and informed as to what's going on. And we did have the attorney who was involved in the case on earlier. I'm trying to get that Christian perspective. Do we look at this and say the court is now, because of that appointment that happened under Donald Trump, the court is now heading in a better direction? Or would this decision have come this way regardless of the appointment?
I think it would have come this way regardless of the appointment. And because as we count noses, we have to get to five on the Supreme Court. And Justice Kennedy has always been a protector of religious freedom. So he would have voted with us anyway. But the fact that we also got the liberals, Justice Breyer and Kagan, that was not only a surprise, but I guess an indication of just how strong the argument was. I think people have taken for granted these days that churches are just, and religious people are just going to have to take it on the chin and become less and less front and center in today's society. And I think this case gave everybody a wake-up call and said, wait a minute, we still have religious freedom in this country, and even some liberals believe in it.
Does this case, because there was a couple of cases they handed down, and I know that you guys are involved in, you know, looking at all the different elements, not just the ones that specifically have Christian tattoo, but all of these have some kind of bearing on how the mentality of the court is. It's and it seems to me in supporting like the travel, the majority of the travel ban position, and in this decision here, and in opening up or in taking that case that's going to involve the Masterpiece Cake Shop versus the Colorado Civil Rights Commission, it seems as though the court is saying, all of you courts that are lower that have made these prior decisions, you guys know you've done this for political reasons, and we're going to set it straight in the law.
Yeah,
is that what's going on?
I agree with you. I think we've had 8 years of Obama appointments, which amounts to, on the federal court side, over 350 judges out of a total of 900. So he's had a chance to have a major impact on the federal courts. Some of these cases came up through the state courts, which in a lot of these states are liberal courts anyway, because they've been appointed by liberal governors. And so it's nice to see that the Supreme Court is saying, you know, we can't go this far. We cannot. And religious freedom is one of those bedrock principles that means that America has not lost its way yet. And I hope that continues along with the Masterpiece Cake Shop case that you just mentioned. That's going to be the blockbuster for next year.
Yeah. And to me, it seems like, and even in the travel ban, we're not talking about the travel ban, but you had to notice there was not a mention of the religious element in the travel ban in any capacity. Like, they were like, okay, that's got nothing to do with this. And it's like, it's almost like the court was like going, what are you guys doing? And you just by this one, you know, this one day of decisions on how it processed, it seems to me like people of more steadfast faith, and even people that are just trying to really respect the law, are looking at this going, it's possible that the nightmarish pursuit has got some reprieve here, and we might find out that it's okay to be a Christian in America after all. I mean, that's kind of how I feel about it.
I think you're right. I have the same perception. And for all of those court watchers out there who have been wondering about Justice Gorsuch, the cases he's lended his authorship to, or wrote a concurrence or a dissenting opinion, have really encouraged me to be able to tell you that this guy is at least as conservative as Justices Alito and Thomas and Scalia. He might even be more conservative than a couple of those guys. So that's a real encouragement. It looks as if President Trump picked a winner in Neil Gorsuch.
Yeah, and now there's that rumor, and I know it's just a rumor because, you know, every media outlet, I don't know if you know this or not, but media actually stands for Making Everybody Dumber in America. So the idea, though, is to really catch that they're going forward in dealing with these cases. How does focus on the family, how do you guys need support so that you can kind of come back to us and say, hey, this is going on, this is the next case? Because like you said, you've got that cake shop versus the commission fight coming up. People need to be praying about that. People need to be engaged. How can they connect to focus on the family? How can they connect to these cases, Bruce, where they are in the know so that they're not getting it just from the media, who's going to spin this every negative way come Sunday?
Yes, you can keep up to date with all of these cases on our particular website, that which is focusonthefamily.com/social issues. And if you go there, we have all these cases and more discussed, and all the hot topics, public policy topics of the day. So that's where you can find calls to action, all the information you need, and how to think and how to pray about these issues.
All right. What do you see coming up? I mean, I know you're not, you know, we're not doing crystal ball kind of stuff, but what do you see coming up in, you know, the next big thing? I mean, is everything kind of holding pat until we get to that cake shop case, or is there other major things that people need to be aware about? And when will that case be dealt with?
Well, to answer your last question first, I think the arguments will probably be heard before Christmas or just after, just based on how soon they accepted it this year. So we might get a decision in the February-March timeframe in that Masterpiece cake shop. That's in a perfect world. Sometimes things get delayed, and we, you know, because of so many people briefing that case, it might get dragged on into next June. They'll save the blockbuster for the last of June like they always do. Other cases coming along, the conscience question right now is the biggest. I have to say, the forcing Christians to violate their conscience, like in Masterpiece Cake Shop, that's the key issue going forward for Christians and concerned Christians of all kinds. The next ones that are behind it are going to be governments compelling speech in other areas, like the pro-aborts, trying to force pregnancy resource centers to advertise where they can get free and or cheap abortions. Those kinds of things are also on their way to the Supreme Court. And under the same type of free speech, First Amendment type protections. Those are coming next, and those are the big ones.
All right. And then let me just finally ask you this. And by the way, I really appreciate you taking the time. You know, we do appreciate it. And it's amazing that 2 years later you're on the show. I find that to be fantastic. The Establishment Clause, I know I read about, you know, Jack and Jill going up the hill. And I know how to read, you know, see Dick run, you know, see Jane run. I know I get it. How does, you know, the Establishment Clause become the rallying cry for people that can't stand Christians, all based on something where the government is supposed to be, quote unquote, establishing a religion, which I have pretty much come to think the religion of the government is accepting immorality. So I'm trying to figure out what is the religion that they establish that everybody's so freaking out about? I can't follow it.
No, it was originally created and put in the Constitution to keep the federal government from supporting any particular religion, getting us into problems like England had before we fought our revolution and got away from that. And it's the reason why people came to America, in order to not be forced to attend the government religious services. But that now, in the last century, we've got it perverted into this wall of separation between church and state based on Thomas Jefferson letter in 1802 that's been misconstrued, you know, six ways till Friday. And now it means we have to keep church completely separate from government and public life. And that's simply not what the Establishment Clause was ever intended to mean. But that's the way we fight these wars today.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, I always just found it weird that we have the, you know, people say, well, we have the right, you know, to life, liberty, and happiness. And it's like, I swear it says you have the right to pursue it, not that the government can provide it. I gotta double check that, but I think I'm right. Excellent job, Bruce. Thanks for taking the time. FocusOnTheFamily.com/social issues is a way to keep up with it. Thank you, sir. I hope it's not another 2 years before we hear from you.
Thanks, David.
God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back for more. Don't go anywhere.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
It's not the words we pray that matter. It's the condition of our heart.
Our daily bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Ann Cetus. Ann writes, "Prayer is a conversation with God, not a formula. Yet sometimes we might need to use a quote-unquote method to freshen up our prayer time. We can pray the Psalms or other scriptures, such as the Lord's Prayer, or use the Acts method, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. I recently came across this five-finger prayer to use as a guide when praying for others. When you fold your hands, the thumb is nearest you. So begin by praying for those closest to you, your loved ones. The index finger is the pointer. Pray for those who teach, Bible teachers and preachers, and those who teach children." Anne continues, "The next finger is the tallest. It reminds you to pray for those in authority over you, national and local leaders, and your supervisor at work. The fourth finger is usually the weakest. Pray for those who are in trouble or who are suffering. Then comes your little finger. It reminds you of your smallness in relation to God's greatness. Ask Him to supply your needs. Whatever method you use, just talk with your Father. He wants to hear what's on your heart. We hope these daily programs inspire you to go deeper in studying God's Word. For additional resources and encouragement, download the Our Daily Bread ebook and mobile app. Prefer a print copy? We'll gladly send one your way for no cost or obligation. Visit getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
I am pure Burmese and strong in my own religion. I did not want to hear about Jesus, but Pastor Ruwat came and told me about him.
When Da I Tin first heard about Jesus, her reaction was, "I will never believe your God and change my religion." But Pastor Ruwat continued to visit, sharing God's word and answering her questions. At first, she rejected the message, but after 1 year, her heart softened. And then one day, she clearly knew that what Pastor Ruwat had been telling her about Jesus and salvation was true. Now she is a believer in the living God. We at Whitefields Ministry support pastors so people can hear the gospel.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Close to you, I want to be.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Well, we did it. We've never done it before. We had two political segments, full segments. I don't think it was too bad because they focused on the family helping us cover one of them. That was good. And then you had the Alliance Defending Freedom people. That was good with Eric. He did a great job. So I thought that went pretty well. And it's important for people to know that. But we want to make sure that with that, of course, is the balance of truth. Because there's a lot of things on your train that matter, but very little is as important as truth. And before you sit there and say, well, Dave, it should be love, you got to be careful there, because biblical truth defines what genuine love is, because mankind's definition of love is horrible. So if you use God's definition, see, mankind's definition of love is, ooh, feelings, nothing more than feelings. Okay, but God's definition is sacrificial giving, decision-making. It's a big difference. Okay? All right. Okay, let's get ready to do our Facebook post. Love doing Facebook posts. Had somebody actually send me a comment that, like, they are, like, thought-provoked. Just like, that's a good thing, folks. That's not a bad thing to sit there and think, man, I had to think about that. That's good. The title of this is you, You are what you... Okay. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 15. They rejected his statutes and his covenant he had made with their ancestors and the warnings he had given them. They pursued worthless idols and became worthless themselves, following the surrounding nations the Lord had commanded them not to imitate. So what's the big line there? They pursued worthless idols and became worthless themselves. So in society, what do you hear? Let's just do that little honesty thing. Ready? In our society, they say, ready? You are what you eat. Right? How many times have you heard that? It had to be 1,000 times you've heard that in your life. You are what you eat. Why, if you eat lemon meringue pie, you are a lemon meringue pie person. You have squishy pie stuff all over you. How many people have heard that? Raise your hand right now, unless you're driving. All right? You can raise your finger while it's on the steering wheel. And then here's the other thing that people say. Ready? Here's the second one. This is the second one that the world says. This is relating to our previous hour. You are what you think. You are what you think. Think you're a winner? You're a winner. Think you're a loser? You're a loser. I got all those people saying you are as a man thinketh in his heart. So there's some connection there. We can get that. Oh, here's the one that comes from Hollywood and New York and Madison Avenue. We don't talk about Madison Avenue very, very much because there's no reason to. But they, you know what they say? You are what you wear. Oh, yeah. That's right. I wear that bathrobe. I am a bathrobe. I don't know what that means, but apparently it means something. I like the bathrobe my wife got me. Thanks. But all those are wrong. They're not as accurate as this. They pursued worthless idols and became worthless themselves. You are, ready, what you worship. That's what you are. You are linked to, now look at, when it says you are what you eat, it doesn't literally mean you're a lemon meringue pie. It just means that the impact of eating lemon meringue pie all the time will make you more lemon meringue-ish. Well, what you worship will impact you more than any other because you not only think about it, but you digest it internally in your heart. You embrace it with your feelings. You love it. You adore it. You are what you worship. And let me explain something to you that's very, very important. If you worship money, if you love money, you could be in some trouble. It's not that money is the root of all evil, but the love of money is the root of all evil. If you worship your children more than God, you're in trouble. If you worship your job, your retirement more than God, if you worship your friends or your spouse more than God, you're in trouble. Look, eating is great. Thinking is fantastic. It's tough to get through life without it. Clothing, nah, not so much for me. I'm a Kmart, or not a Kmart, I'm a Walmart kind of guy. Yeah, 10 bucks? Okay, I'll pay for it. But you are what you worship. You are linked to that which your heart adores. Never forget that. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 22-hour break, then come back. More insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.